ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Bless you. Thank you, man.
Certainly extend greetings in the precious name of Jesus this evening. It is good to be together here tonight. Lord bless you for coming, for being here. And we want to continue our discussion on freedom, and specifically tonight, freedom through forgiveness. This morning we talked about a lot of the effects of broken relationships, rejection, and a lot of emotional pain. Well, this evening will be what I'd like to think of as more positive. And, you know, God offers healing and wants to bring healing to the emotional pain that we've experienced in our lives through broken relationships, rejection, and all that. You know, Scripture tells us very clearly concerning forgiveness, gives us very clear directions. Ephesians 4, and very familiar verses there, 31 and 2 of Ephesians 4. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake forgave you. Scripture is very clear what we are to do with that anger, bitterness, resentment that we talked about this morning. We're to deal with it, put it away, take it out of our lives, lay it at the foot of the cross, and forgive. We are to forgive one another. Notice the qualification that he gives there for the forgiving part. He says, as Christ has forgiven you, so we are to forgive others. Think about that. It's very, very clear. And, you know, forgiveness is not easy. It's not a natural response, at least not on my part. It's not something that I do naturally. Now, I realize that, you know, different personalities respond in different ways when things happen. And for some of us, when something happens, when people cross our path, it really does bother us. And I'm one of those. But for other people, and some people can just seemingly just kind of go with the flow and no big deal. And, you know, it's just kind of, wow. But at the same time, we all deal with it to a certain degree or other. We all have circumstances, situations in life that, yes, we all experience those broken relationships and rejection in our lives. And, you know, we have a choice to make on how we will deal with that, how we will respond when that happens. We have a choice to let it go, release, forgive, or then receive, and then what will follow. We talked about that this morning, about the more we think about the offense, you know, the larger it gets, the bigger it gets. And it's kind of like, you know, begins very small, and but it keeps growing. It's kind of like a monkey on our back. The offense happens. It's a monkey on our back. And the more I think about it, the more I'm feeding this monkey on my back. And what's happening? The monkey's growing. Oh, it started out small, but the more I think about it, it grows. And I'm feeding this monkey on my back. I keep feeding the monkey, and you know what? One day it won't be a monkey anymore. It'll be a gorilla that's controlling us. And that's exactly how this whole thing works of anger, bitterness, resentment, if we allow it to. Scripture is very clear. Deal with all that anger, bitterness, resentment. Deal with it. Forgive. And another passage of Scripture, there's two passages of Scripture yet that I would really like to look at. And the next one is in Romans 12. The Bible gives us some very specific instructions here how we are to relate to those that, may I say, mistreat us. And Romans 12, verse 17. I'll be reading, this is from the, I'm going to read that from the King James Version here. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lies in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Several things that stand out to me in this passage of Scripture. First of all, you and I do not have the privilege nor the responsibility to deal out vengeance to those who mistreat us. Scripture is very clear. We are to turn it over to God and allow Him to deal out whatever punishment or vengeance that needs to be dealt out. By the way, God can do a whole lot better job of it than I can. We best just turn it over to Him. And then secondly, I see also in this passage that how we are to respond. Notice he says, if your enemy is hungry. The word enemy. How would you define an enemy? Think about it. He's not saying if your friend is hungry, then feed him. Oh, that's easy. We'd be glad to do that, right? Absolutely. But it says if your enemy is hungry, feed him. How would you define an enemy? Someone that is not working for our best interest, right? It's someone that is working against us. He says, do good to him. He says, don't allow that evil to overcome you, but rather you overcome that evil with what? With good. If I allow the evil from another person, from the enemy, to overcome me, what does that look like? It simply is me responding in a negative way. From the natural perspective in anger and resentment towards that person. Dealing out vengeance. But, he says, don't let that evil overcome you, but you overcome the evil with good. Let me ask you a question this evening. Not only does Scripture call us to forgive, but could it be that at times God wants to use you and me as an instrument for His love to flow through us and reach out to those people that are working against us? As the words in Scripture here, the enemy. Could it be that at times that is what God wants to do? Wants us to do. I believe it is. I believe it is. And at the same time, I don't believe that God always, at least it's not been my experience, that a person that, let's make this very practical. Person that rubs us the wrong way, just gives us a hard time, a thorn in the side. You know what I'm talking about? Yeah, we all know what that's like, right? Sometimes there are people that just simply rub us the wrong way. They're just kind of a thorn in our side. A number of years ago, in a job situation, I was in construction, and there was this job supervisor. And BJ, he just had a knack of rubbing me the wrong way. He was just a thorn in my side. And frankly, I had a whole lot better day if BJ stayed at home. But unfortunately, BJ was a supervisor, so he was there. And I had to work with him. And I struggled with it. By the way, I was supposed to be a Christian. Here I was struggling with that. He was just, you know, I just found it very difficult to work with him. And you know what? God in His Spirit is very faithful in convicting us and speaking to us. And God convicted me of that spirit, that attitude of bitterness, of anger, resentment towards BJ. And I confessed, repented, asked forgiveness. God forgave me. And then God spoke to my heart, said, you need to apologize to BJ for your actions, for your attitude. And I did. And you know what? Something happened on the inside of me when I did that. Did BJ change? I don't think so. But something changed on the inside of me. And I prayed, I asked God to fill my heart with love for BJ, and I prayed it every day. I prayed hard. I prayed more than once a day about that. And you know what? God did a work in my heart. And, you know, sometimes I believe that God allows us to be in circumstances, situations just like that, so that we can experience His love flowing through us and reach out to others. And it was indeed a growing experience in my life, although not as, you know, at the time it was one of those difficult circumstances and situations in my life. But as I reflect back, you know, it was a growing experience in my life, and simply working through that and allowing the Spirit of God to deal with my heart and choosing to forgive and to release. You know, there in Romans 12, he says in our response of returning good for evil, we're like heaping coals of fire on their head. Now, I don't know, in today's language, that sounds like, wow, that's something terrible. But really, the thought behind these coals of fire on their head is, in fact, the New Living Translation puts it this way, burning coals of shame. In other words, it will cause them to take a step back. You know, after they have mistreated us and done us wrong, and we respond with something good, oh, we give them a Pepsi on that hot day when they're out in the hot sun working and they're wanting a Pepsi. Yes, we give them one of our Pepsi. Like, why would you do that after what I did to you? Oh, they may not say it, but in their hearts, it brings that conviction. And so demonstrating the love of God, you know, you and I, as believers, we're instruments for God's love to flow through us and reach out to others. You know, we have all experienced the love of God in our lives as believers. And yes, we enjoy it. We want it. But it's not meant to just be kept on the inside. It's meant to flow through us and reach out to others. And I believe this, the picture that I see here in Romans 12 is just that. And I believe that there are times that God calls us to do that. You know, in my natural way, I would say, well, okay, I will forgive that fella, but you know what? I see him coming down this way, I am going this way. That's kind of, I'm confessing, that's kind of my natural tendency. I'll keep my distance. And at the same time, you know, there may be times for that. There probably are times for that. When it's just someone is out to just cut us down and just to give us a hard time. You know, we live in a fallen world, a broken world, and, you know, there's probably a time for, well, okay, we just keep our distance. Of course, we know the heart of God. God's heart is that relationships be restored, but we realize, living in a fallen world, that that will not always happen. It takes two to make that work. It's just the way it is. But for us as believers, we can always allow the love of God to flow through us and reach others in that way. Forgiveness is that spiritual ointment that God uses to bring healing, the emotional healing, to all three areas of relationships that we talked about this morning. First of all, relationship with God, relationship with others, and then with ourselves. Again, reminding us the importance of, yes, being willing to forgive ourselves where we have done wrong, where we have messed up. We need to also extend that forgiveness to ourselves. In Matthew 18, I'd like to look at this passage of Scripture. And the setting here in Matthew 18, in verse 21, we have the account of Peter coming to Jesus with a question. And he asked this. He said, "Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times?" You know, I imagine that Peter thought he was being very generous. Oh, the seven. That'll be the perfect number. Jesus will probably say, "Yes, Peter, you've got it. That's it." Because I understand the rabbis taught that you forgive three times. But notice Jesus' response in verse 22. Jesus said to him, "I do not say unto you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven." 70 times seven. How often is that? 490 times. So what is Jesus saying here? Is this about counting and keeping track? Obviously not. It's about forgiving. Walking in that forgiveness. And I believe that Jesus was making it very clear here that it's not about keeping track, but it's about forgiving. And the important principle of forgiveness here is the fact that it knows no limits, no boundaries. It's not about counting, but it's about forgiving. Choosing to forgive. And again, it is a choice. It is, God will not force us. He instructs us to, but the choice is up to us. And it's not about calculation. It's not about that, but it is about a heart condition. And to make the point, Jesus gives a story, an illustration. And I'm going to read this I'm going to read the first part of the parable here, verse 23 through 27. Jesus said this, "Therefore the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who would want to settle accounts with his servants. And when he had begun to settle accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. But as he would not, as he was not able to pay, his master commanded him to be sold with his wife and children and all that he had, and payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down before him, saying, 'Master, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all.' Then the master of that servant was moved with compassion, released him, and forgave him the debt." Let's pause for just a moment here. Several things that stand out to me in this part of the parable. First of all, notice the amount. He said 10,000 talents. How much does that translate in today's money as such? Well, depends what commentary you're reading, but it's a lot of money. It's somewhere probably around $12 million. Or put it into working days, it's somewhere around, back then I understand, the wages were somewhere around a penny a day. And so it translates to about 300 million working days. Wow. That'd take a long time. By the way, Who was this person that owed this debt? Did you notice that in the parable? What business did he have? Was he a businessman? No, he was a servant. He was a servant. And by the way, did you notice he didn't refute? Say, oh no, that's not all my debt. Oh, about half of it is, and the other half is this fellow over here. No, no, no. He recognized it was his debt. And the king offered forgiveness, compassion. Forgave him the debt. You know, friends, this evening, that is a beautiful picture of God extending his forgiveness to us. You know, we had a debt we could not pay. Jesus paid a debt he did not owe. And because Jesus paid that debt at Calvary, you and I can be set free from the bondage of sin and Satan and have eternal life. What a beautiful picture of God extending his forgiveness to us so generously. We come, we meet him at the foot of the cross. We repent of our sins. We ask him to forgive us. He extends that forgiveness to us. Now, let's read on in the parable, picking up on verse 28. This servant that was forgiven that debt. Notice what he did. He went out and he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. And he laid hands on him and he took him by the throat saying, pay me what you owe. So his fellow servant fell down at his feet and begged him saying, have patience with me and I will pay you all. And he would not, but went and threw him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very grieved and came and told their master all that had been done. Then his master, after he had called him, said to him, you wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you begged me. Should you not also have had compassion on your fellow servant, just as I had pity on you? And his master was angry and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due unto him. So my heavenly Father will also do to you if you from your hearts do not forgive everyone his brother their trespasses. Several things that I note in this part of the parable. First of all, the 100 pence or denarii. The King James uses the word pence. In the New King James, it says denario. And basically, the same thing, and a day's wages as such. And here, his fellow servant owed him, notice what it was. It was like 100 denarii, like 100 working days. So compare that to the huge debt that this fella had been forgiven from. This is just so small, is it not? You know, friends, this evening, as we reflect on how much God has forgiven us, doesn't it move us to also extend forgiveness to those people around us that cause offense in our lives? I believe it does. It does for me. Notice also what kind of servant he calls this servant that was not willing to forgive. He says, you wicked servant. You know, friends, tonight I believe that in the eyes of God, unforgiveness is wickedness. He tells him, you should have had compassion as I had compassion on you. And then he goes and he turns him over to the tormentors. And then Jesus makes a comment there that I would like for us to note in verse 35. In fact, in verse 34, he talks about, mentions the fact that he was angry with him. He delivered him to the tormentors until he should pay it all that was due unto him. Then Jesus said, so my heavenly Father also will do to you if you do not from your hearts forgive everyone, his brother, their trespasses. I believe that God will turn us over to tormentors if we are not willing to forgive. What are those tormentors? Well, I believe they are tormentors of anger, of bitterness, of resentment. You know, we talked about that this morning. Are you enjoying life when you are angry and bitter? No, we're not. That's a tormentor in my life. I'm not enjoying life. I'm being eaten up on the inside. So, Jesus here makes it very clear the importance of forgiveness. In fact, in Mark chapter 11 and verse 25 and 26, Jesus said this, whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses. Unforgiveness affects our relationship with God. And Jesus made it very clear there in Mark chapter 11. And certainly, again, forgiveness is a choice. God has created us with that freedom of choice. We choose whether we will forgive or whether we will not. You know, sometimes it's very difficult to forgive those that have deeply hurt us. I realize that. And certainly it's sometimes it becomes a process. I know in my life, it's not just like, okay, I'm going to forgive and boom, flip that switch and boom, everything's fixed. It'd be nice if it would work that way, and maybe sometimes it does for people, but it's not. Doesn't always work that way, and doesn't work that way in my life. It's a process, series of decisions, of choices that we make, and God then brings that healing. You know, when there's deep hurts, deep wounds in husband-wife relationships, family relationships, work relationships, church relationships, sometimes those wounds are so deep and we find it so difficult to release, to forgive. Some time ago, as a young fellow, young father, that had a grievance against an older brother in the church in the way that he related to his children. And the situation, it was not a right or wrong situation there at all. But it was just, for this young father, he struggled with that. He had his ideals and his perception. And the older gentleman, he was not aware that his actions, his comments were not appreciated. And perhaps kind of a difference in cultural background there, too. And but this young father, he realized that he needed to forgive that person. And it seemed like Kind of the feeling I got as I was talking with him about his situation was that, you know, he kind of enjoyed holding on to it and being angry at that person. And, but it's not the answer. It's not the answer. And by the way, he did then come to the reality of the truth that, yes, he needs to choose to forgive and to release. But sometimes people do that. They hang on so that they can be angry at people. You know, I ran across a quote some time ago. Will Rogers said this. He said, "I will not allow anyone to control me by me being angry at them." Now think about that. If I am angry, allowing someone's actions to make me angry, I'm allowing them to control me how I feel. That's putting it in a bit of a different perspective, but I think it's very true. And but the reality is, yes, sometimes those emotional wounds, they run very deep, and it's very, very difficult to forgive. Some time ago, in a sharing in a church setting, and a young man at the end of the service, he just said, "You know, I've been abused for many years by my mother, and today I choose to forgive her." And he said it with a lot of emotion and a lot of tears, and it was really a struggle for him for many years. And I remember some time ago in a prison setting, an inmate said, "You know, I cannot forgive the man that stole my wife." And a lot of anger, a lot of bitterness, a lot of things there to, yeah, it's not easy. I realize that. How can we forgive? To really, truly forgive requires the grace of God. The grace of God. In our weakness, we say, "God, I don't know how I can do this. I don't feel." You know, it's not about feeling. It's a choice. "God, I don't feel like forgiving." You know, it's okay to just tell God exactly how you feel. "God, I'm struggling with this. I can't forgive. God, I know I need to. I want to. God, help me." You know, as we read through the Psalms, we see David struggling different times with his circumstances and telling God, "You know, I don't understand what's happening to me." Well, this whole thing of forgiveness, it's okay to tell God what we're struggling with. And you know, as we recognize our weakness and our need for God to enable us and to touch us, he does that. In our weakness, he shows himself strong. The bottom line is this: when we make that choice, that decision of our will, at that point, God will begin to do a work on the inside of us. The work of healing. But I have found that God will not work one moment earlier than I make a choice. In other words, God won't begin the healing process on the inside of me as long as I am not willing to forgive. But when I'm willing to forgive, then God begins that healing process. Let's think about what is forgiveness, really. What does it look like? Forgiveness, to forgive is to release from judgment and to give up the right to get even. We're releasing a person, turning them over to God to deal out the vengeance. We're releasing them emotionally, to release an offender emotionally and choose to live with the scars. In other words, we're not in denial of the emotional pain. We realize the emotional pain is real, but we're willing to live with the scars. And God will bring the healing. Forgiveness is not a feeling, but it is a choice, a decision of our will to release the offender. It's not a pardon. We're not dealing with a pardon as such. A pardon deals with the consequences of the offense. And, you know, we can't always do that depending on what the offense may be. You know, there may be some state involvement or whatever. And we'll leave that up to the authorities for that. But we can always release emotionally and forgive. I've had people ask me the question, so if I forgive, does that mean that I forget? And I've had a person tell me, you know, well, okay, I will forgive, but I won't forget. I'll forgive, but I won't forget. Well, forgiveness is not holding on to it. You know, I've thought already, well, wouldn't it be nice that if we choose to forgive, okay, I had a circumstance a number of years ago, fella mistreated us, it was a business deal, and took advantage of us, and I confess, it really bothered me. I got pretty upset at that fella, and I allowed it to, bother me, and bug me, and make me angry, and bitter, and all that stuff. And I thought, wow, wouldn't this be nice? Okay, the Lord convicted me, and I chose to forgive the fella. Wouldn't it be nice to just take an eraser and ding, remove it from the memory, and we're good to go? Well, it doesn't quite work that way, does it? And I believe that God knew what He was doing when He gave us that memory bank. Yes, back there in my memory bank, I remember what happened back then. It's still a part of my memory bank. But I also can now reflect on when I made that choice to forgive Tim for what he did, God has brought the healing. Now when I think of it, well, yes, it happened, but you know what? It's between him and God, you know. I'm at peace about it. I've released. God has brought the healing. By the way, as you think about some things that have happened back there, how do you know if you have forgiven or not? Well, I believe a good indication is what kind of emotion is it stirring on the inside as it comes to mind. If it's simply a part of your memory bank, yes, it happened back there. It was not a pleasant experience. And, you know, we recognize that, we remember that, but it's not stirring the emotion of anger, resentment, or bitterness, or anything like that. Then let's leave it there. You've dealt with it. It's forgiven. It's under the blood. It's there. Let's not go dig it up again. But at the same time, when you think about some things that, you know, and it could be something that happened yesterday or today or last week or a year ago or 10 years ago or whenever. And it, as you think about it, it stirs that emotion of anger, of resentment, of bitterness, grudge towards that person. You know, that's a good indication that, yes, we need to bring it to the foot of the cross and choose to forgive, to release. And God will bring the healing when we do that, when we respond in that way. So, hanging on to it is not forgiveness. The concept of I will forgive, but I won't forget, no, that's not forgiveness. Forgiveness is releasing. And yes, I realize at the same time that, we choose to forgive, and then, at least it's been my experience that, you know, down the road, Satan would want us to focus back on it again and want us to pick up the offense again. And Well, no, we bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. And sometimes it is very helpful for us to, as such, drive a stake. This is where I have made the decision to forgive, to release. And then we walk in that. And then tomorrow, when that thought comes back about that offense, we have that stake. We've driven that stake. No, this is where we stand. Satan would want us to pick it back up again. Satan would want to steal our joy. But by the grace of God, by the power of God, we need to leave it at the foot of the cross and go on from there. Certainly, as I mentioned earlier, forgiveness requires God's grace to truly forgive and to find healing. And certainly forgiveness is what brings that restoration in all three areas of relationship. Again, our relationship with God. We all recognize how much we need that. We need God's forgiveness, do we not? From time to time, yes, we mess up. And we need God's forgiveness, and the promise is there. We confess our sins. He is faithful and just to forgive us. And then with others, you know, sometimes we do things to cause hurt in others. And we go and we ask for forgiveness. And the goal is to have that relationship restored. And in family relationships, that is so important. Husband-wife relationships. I'm sorry for what I did. I'm sorry for what I said. And please forgive me. Those are very important words, very precious words. And that is what helps a family relationship more than anything else. When husband and wife willing to work together, forgive each other. You know, we live in a fallen world, a broken world, and we have this natural human nature to deal with. And, you know, I have, many times I have to go to my wife and say, I'm sorry, honey, I shouldn't have said that. And please forgive me. And so, yes, forgiveness is that ointment that God uses to soothe those broken relationships. You know, sometimes when we have messed up, we've wronged someone, and we go and want to make things right, and we ask for their forgiveness, and for whatever reason or other, they say, no, I can't forgive you. It hurts, doesn't it? But you know what? We've done our part. We ask God to forgive us, and we go and we try to make things right. We've done our part. It's up to them. It's between them and God how they will move forward. But we've done our part. We have done what God has asked us to do. Some time ago, I was traveling and turned the radio on and hit this gospel station. A preacher was preaching on forgiveness. And I thought, well, that's pretty interesting. And so he and I just listened to a few minutes there, and he made a comment that really struck me. And he said something like, you should be so ready to forgive that you forgive before it happens. Now think about it. How are you going to do that? But he made the point. You forgive before it happens. In other words, we have this attitude of forgiveness. You know, when an offense comes, I mentioned this a bit earlier, when an offense comes, we have a choice to make. Are we going to receive it, or are we going to let it go? We forgive, we let it go. And I believe that is truly the heart of God. And certainly when people cause offenses in our lives, let's not wait till they come and confess and ask forgiveness to forgive them, but forgive right away. And the blessing will be ours as we walk in that. You know, this evening, as we come to a close, I'd like to just take a bit of time in prayer this evening. And perhaps the Lord has revealed to you someone that you need to forgive. As we've been talking about that this morning and this evening, and just want to give you an opportunity to talk to God about that and to release that person. And several ways that you can do it. One is right there in your seat where you're at, or if you want to come to the altar, that's fine. Or if you want to drive a stake, we'll give you an opportunity to do that as well. What I'm going to do is ask the ushers if they would pass out those papers that are in the back there. Simply a blank piece of paper. Everyone take one. If you want to use it, fine. If not, that's fine too. But what I would like to do, if God has laid it on your heart to forgive someone, just write the name on the paper. And then we will pray. Or you write it down while we're praying, or whatever. And then after we're done praying, you see this little trash can right up here by the cross. It's there for a reason. After we've prayed, I'd like for you to just simply tear it up. Bring it up here and put it in the trash can at the foot of the cross. Sometimes it does us a lot of good to do an exercise just to drive a stake. Because we know that we have an enemy that will try to bring things back into our minds, that will try to cause us to pick that back up, pick the offense back up, and allow it to fester. And when we do that, we're really damaging our testimony. We're really not effective in our witness for God. We're really, you know, the fruit of the Spirit is not flowing from our lives. You know, that love, that joy, the peace and gentleness, faith, meekness, you know, it's not flowing from our lives if we allow that unforgiveness and that bitterness. But sometimes it's good for us to simply drive a stake. And then, when those thoughts come into our minds, we go back to the foot of the cross. Yes, we leave it right there, right there. I don't know what your circumstance, situation may be that you've dealt with in the past, are working through, hurt, pain, but God does. And I simply ask you to reflect. What is God speaking to you this evening? You're not responding to me. You're responding to God. And several things that, as we pray, I believe are very important for us to address. I believe it is important for us to speak it out to God. Whisper it. Oh, if you want to pray out loud, that's fine too. But not just within my heart, but verbally, whisper it to God. Recognize, first of all, I believe it's important, be very specific, what happened. Tell God. He already knows, but tell Him. Lord, You know that time, that day, what that person did or said or whatever it was. And then tell God that you want to release that person. And forgive Him. And then also we recognize where we have held on to unforgiveness. And we ask God to forgive us for that. And to cleanse us. And to take back any ground that we've surrendered to evil through that. You know, the verse that we looked at this morning in Ephesians 4 talked about anger, you know, gives a foothold to the devil. We don't want the devil to have any footholds, any strongholds. All those strongholds need to be broken down. So we ask God to reclaim for himself the ground that we had surrendered to Satan through that. And then we ask God to bring healing to our emotional pain that we're feeling on the inside. So you put it in your own words, but I believe that that is really a good way to speak it out to God. Can we do that? Let's just spend some time in prayer. Right where you're at, just pray right where you're at. Or if you would like to come to the altar, pray at the altar, that is fine. You do that. You're welcome to do that. And if God has laid on your heart that, yes, you need to write somebody's name on the paper, and then after we're done praying, you tear it up and put it in the trash can, you're welcome to do that as well. Okay? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we call upon you here this evening, thank you for the blessed privilege to call you our Father. Lord, you know each of our hearts. Lord, you know each of our emotional pain that we've experienced. Lord, you know the circumstances in each of our lives. Lord, you know the broken relationships, the rejection that each one of us are facing right now or have faced in the past. You know all that. Thank you, Lord, for the blessed privilege to lay it at the foot of the cross and to walk in forgiveness. And Lord, we do pray that you would bring healing to the emotional wounds. And Lord, for those that you have impressed on their hearts to forgive someone, Lord, may you grant them your grace to continue to walk in that forgiveness. And as the enemy would bring doubts or would want to bring it back into their minds and want them to pick it back up. God, may those thoughts be brought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Lord, may your Holy Spirit minister to each heart in a very special way. We thank you that you are God and that you do care for each one of us. You do love us and you do minister healing. Thank you that you're the God that meets us at our point of need. And Lord, you know each of our hearts, each of our needs. And we do pray for your healing touch upon us. We do commit ourselves to you. Thank you for your presence here this evening. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.